Hello, everyone. I'm delighted to have John Conlon on the show today. Congrats on the PwC Hurler of the Month Award, John. How's things?
Good, yeah. No, it's always a nice thing to get an acknowledgement. But yeah, it's lovely, especially comes from the players. So it's really nice and great award to run by the PwC.
Yeah, there's only one place to start, John, and it's not the win over Limerick. It's the brothers' wedding. Did you make it back in time to give the speech that night?
No, I was lucky enough. No, I did written out all right. And my brother's best friend Owen did all duties, but yeah, he was the man to lead the speech and give it out to everyone. So yeah, it was a great day for everyone, and really added to the occasion, and something that we can look back to in years to come and with a fun smile and a bit of a laugh and over a few pints was some night.
Is it easier to prepare a speech for the Clare lads than for best man for a wedding?
A lot easier, yeah. I've done one before, and yeah, you have a nice few whiskies beforehand to try and keep you settled before that. It's a lot easier going to play a match, different things like that, and yeah, because you're trying to get little jokes and little things in. But yeah, it was a great day, and everyone really enjoyed it, and yeah, I was delighted for Patrick and Len.
Yeah. Days like that, I suppose, John, that's what you dream of, really. Like, you know, I was only thinking after the game, you know, watching your interview and going back to the hotel, I'd say there was some reception when you did land back.
Yeah, like I suppose it was a great distraction in one way, like, because on the day of the match, like, you'd everything really well prepared the night before because it had to be ready, you know, which maybe I'd probably leave it until the day to get the gear ready or things like that. But on the day of the match, like, you know, between food and everything, I was really on point, and it was a bit of a distraction at the wedding, you know, at the day, and having a bit of fun at the before with the photos and stuff. And it wasn't really until we got to the team hotel at, we'll say, 5 o'clock, that I actually really started to think about it and really get into game mode. And you know, maybe it was a great distraction, because often you'd be thinking about the game all day, thinking leading up to it, and maybe taking that nervous energy away from you, right? So yeah, it was a super, super day all around.
So that was it. You went from the photographs with the suit on, I presume. Did you take the suit off before you met the boys, the Clare boys?
No, I actually arrived at the hotel and I got changed inside in the hotel room, and then just, yeah, get the suit to one of the lads that he brought it into the Gaelic grounds, and put it back on after. But it's, the joke was, after these, we should all be wearing suits going to matches now. So but yeah, like, it's a great day. Like, to come back then, I'd be trying to stay quiet enough now, so I kind of came in the back door and went over to the bar to a few of the cousins and had a few pints with them. But yeah, then got dragged out to the dance floor by one of the bridesmaids. She was giving out that she didn't have anyone to dance with, so it was nice to get back. And yeah, everyone was just delighted, because, and I suppose the 80% of the people that were at the wedding would have been inside the Gaelic grounds, you know, so it just added to the whole thing and the atmosphere within the wedding venue. And yeah, it added to them, so I was delighted for them both.
Yeah, I'd say when you got back there, everyone was wanting to talk to you about the match, because I'd say they were all watching it and all roaring at the television from where they were.
Yeah, they were. I think Diego had a lot of new subscriptions anyway that day from the Catholic Arnold area. So I'd say nearly every table, I'd say, had it on, and they had it as well at the hotel. It put a big screen up with the link to the match. So they were watching inside, and yeah, sure, look, there was massive interest. And I'm sure if my dad, now he's so mad into it, that if he'd been allowed to leave there around 6 o'clock to get into the Gaelic grounds, I'm sure he would have taken a detour before coming back to the wedding. But I think he was under strict instructions from my mother to not budge. So.
He was given out to the brother, I'd say, for putting it in the middle of the Munster Championship.
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad wouldn't be one out to hold back. So, yeah, he got many a few picks. In fairness, the two of them worked together as well. So, and they kind of run the farm at home as well. So, yeah, I'm sure he got a few... a few harsh words there at different stages. No better man than Pat to do so.
Definitely. I suppose, like, there seems to be a great togetherness. Back to the hurling now. We'll leave the wedding there. there seems to be great togetherness in the Clare squad. And you talked about, you know, the meeting you had the night before the game. And, you know, I suppose it would have been tough after the Tipperary match. It'd have been easy, like, I suppose, to think, you know, like, this mightn't be, this isn't going well. But everyone seemed to, you stuck together, and you know, you said you believed that you could stick it up to Limerick.
Yeah, no, yeah. I suppose after the Tipperary game, we would have been very disappointed with the, like, not with the way that we played. Like, I suppose we, like, if you look back at the game, we actually played really well in different patches. And if you're looking at the stats of the game, we actually, you know, created a lot of chances, more chances than Tipperary, goal chances. You know, puckouts against Stanford were on our side. You know, it's just, I suppose, the concession of those three goals in the first half and how poorly we conceded them was the big annoyance that came away from the game. And there's one thing we probably addressed a lot leading up to the Limerick game. And yeah, look, like, it was just, you can't give anyone a head start of 9 points like that against any team, especially Tipperary, the way their form they're in at the moment and the goals they're creating throughout the league. And you see again in Cork there last weekend, there's no better team in hurling, in my opinion, than Tipperary to just, if you give them any snippet, they'll finish those goal chances. And yeah, that was the biggest disappointment of that game, in fairness. But we knew going into the Gaelic grounds that, like, we had three kind of humdinger games against them last year, and we didn't, you know, we knew we can compete with them. I suppose with any team that's reaching the levels there and the level of winning All Ireland's and winning games and the record they were on, you know, they obviously have that fear factor about them. But I suppose from where our point of view as Clare people, like, it's just that local derby. Like, that's the way we look at it, you know, is that it's Clare versus Limerick in the Gaelic grounds. Like, I suppose when I first started out my hurling career, I was lucky enough to play against the Super Kilkenny team that was going up along. And I suppose by just seeing the fear, the Kilkenny jersey, you kind of nearly feared going out into the field. I remember playing them in the league semi-final and going, oh, geez, this crowd are so... Or maybe teams have that perception at times, but it's one thing that, you know, I suppose our kind of games take a life of their own in terms of that kind of local derby. And you see that at club level, like, you know, any team that you have a local derby with, it doesn't matter how good they are or how bad they are. It's just kind of between the supporters, the people and everything like that, they were so intertwined that you kind of, they just kind of, those games take a different light compared to maybe a normal game that you might play, like, you know.
Yeah. I suppose, like, there was stages, Nicky Quaid made some great saves early on in the game. And, you know, you're kind of thinking you might have missed your chance. But there seems to be a great togetherness. And I suppose it's been noticeable the last few years. I was there for a few of your wins in Thurles last year, the year before. And it kind of seems as if Brian Lohan just has everybody on side in Clare and everyone is singing off the same hymn sheet.
Yeah, look, I suppose when Brian's bow over the team, we were in a funny stage as a group. We'd had a great relationship with our previous management of Don Maloney, Jerry Connor, and they brought us on as a lot in terms of leaders on and off the field. And I suppose when Brian came in, there was kind of that issue with the county board thing behind the scenes. And we just saw this, in fairness to him, anything that we asked for, it was, I don't know where he pulled it out of, but he'd always pull out what we were asking for. And that's a great sign of a man, and Brian has great connections, and obviously from his time of playing for Clare, the respect that we have for him because of that. And he kind of wears his, you know, he's a quite assuming man. He doesn't, man of a few words really, like, and but we can see the passion that he has, like, on match day leading up to big games, and we just love kind of playing for him that kind of way. And John, I just think he's a really, he's just Clare man at heart and just wants the best for us. And whatever, you know, we don't need anything, it's just there. Like, and we don't, if we ask for something, it's there straight away. So that's just the respect that Brian has brought within the group. He's brought in a really, like, at the time when he first came in, he brought in a lot of younger lads, and then just that build up of the older kind of dynamic within the group and the younger lads, and there's that lovely bond there that I think all groups need, like, you know, just throughout all the different age groups. And that's great within any group, in my opinion, of any team that I've ever been involved with or over. And then he's just added in terms of, he is Brian Lohan, like, you know, that, and that we all love the fullback for Clare. And I think the supporters then love that kind of aspect as well. So, and they love just supporting him and the team. And I think the way we play as well since he's taken over the team is a testament to the way he kind of played, you know. So, yeah, like I think it's just all the different little factors came together, and over the last 2 years or 3 years, it's been really enjoyable and set up to be around and be a part of.
Yeah, he just seems very genuine, and like you can see that even in whenever we're interviewing him after the games, that, you know, if Clare lose, if you can see the pain in him and how badly he's taken it. And, you know, I'd say whether he's praising you or whether he's given out yet, it's all genuine, and I'd say he holds kind of nothing back, and you probably see that for bad and for good, I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's we often say it, like his interviews are the exact same way that he speaks to us. Like, so that's what I mean. He's a very genuine person, and I often see that with managers or with anything in life, like in work as well. If the person over you, like, you know, see my own principal at school, like, you know, she's there for you, and she wants you to succeed in life and help out, and that goes throughout life. If there's people are there for you, they're honest, I think you have a better empathy towards them. And just he doesn't have people around him that are not going to have that either, like, you know. So you know, I think that's the big thing to kind of say. There's no real airs of graces with anyone within the setup, and it's just all working as one for the common goal, really.
Yeah, I'd say he's not afraid to give out to any when he needs to as well. Have you ever been on the receiving end of any of the tongue lashings?
Many a time, yeah, many a time. I suppose I'm easier. I'm well able to take it now as I got older. Like, but yeah, he's many a time he's given it to me. But yeah, that's just his character, and just we just take it as Brian.
Yeah, well, I think he was the first man to play there for centre-back for Clare, but Sean Stackpage there for your club. It seems to be a position that suits you, whether it's reading the game and, you know, a bit of composure on the ball. The whole thing seems to kind of suit you back there.
Yeah, look, I suppose it was the thing that was sprung on me, whatever, a few years ago, and it was around 31, like when we first came back from the COVID break. And look, I've embraced it. I've learned a lot. I suppose at the time I was like a bit of a shock to the system. I had played there obviously with the club that time when we got to the county final with Sean Stack. But yeah, maybe it just suits my game. I'm still a forward at heart at times, and I go back up there with the club at the end of the year again. But I suppose I've studied the best centre backs over the last number of years and really see what they brought to the game. And then there's different things that I would have learned in the forwards that I'm obviously bringing to the backs then as well in my own mindset, and in terms of delivering the ball and different things like that into inside forwards and letting them do the shooting and all that kind of stuff. But look, I've learned a lot, and it's a kind of probably one thing, if I was ever over a team in the future, that I'd often give lads a bit of time in the backs or up in the forwards just to see what they like, they don't like.
You miss getting the chance to hit a few shots at goal.
Yeah, well, I gave enough time now throughout my career, giving out in the full forward line or half forward line, giving out to half backs taking shots or cornerbacks. So I kind of let them do the work now anymore, unless it's an obvious shooting chance. I give it to the shooters.
So you were a small bit surprised at first when Brian came to you and asked you.
Yeah, very surprised. I'd come back from my knee injury, and we had just come back from COVID the second time, and we were training up at Kills Park training game. I think we'd been back a week at this stage training, and then he goes, we'll have a training game on the Sunday. And he just came to me as I was doing the warm-up, and he said, we're going to try out six today. And yeah, that's where it all started. As I said in my head, I went home to my wife, I was like, if he didn't tell me now for the last 4 months, I wouldn't have been up in the field doing loads of shooting, trying to get ready. So I was coming back from an injury, and wasted all that time of taking shots and shots and goals trying to get right for the new year. But then your whole mindset changed that you to try and block ball and use the ball, but it was a great experience, and I suppose it's given me a new lease of life, and given me probably years out the other side of my career.
Yeah, Just finishing up now, I know we're kind of running out of time here, but yeah, like, was it, when you came back from the injury, you've kind of had no real setback since, or has it, you know, a lot of people maybe struggle when they come back from the cruciate. You don't seem to have missed too much action anyway.
No, down the end of the year after, right, my club, I hurt kind of a cartilage in my knee, so I just had a slight keyhole surgery on the same knee. But yeah, barring that, so I suppose the injury gave me that chance to go away and really explore my body and try and get on top of little injuries and niggles that I've had over the years and not have the time to kind of go after them and get on top of them. So we'll say March to March, I didn't really get that was when I kind of came back training fully. So I got 12 months to really go away and just explore things. And I got a really bad back as well, like, so a back injury. So I was able to get on top of them, research things. Like, I'd done a degree in Stanley College and strength and conditioning and went off and did a personal training at the same time. And yeah, I was just got really interested in it and seeing how I could adapt. And those things now that I do, you know, I probably move better now and as fit as I've ever been. And, you know, so I know it works for me and on and off the field. And yeah, I felt it was a kind of blessing in disguise, right? Really. I don't think I'd be still playing if I didn't get that injury in my own head.
Have you an arm injury, or is that a fashion statement with the arm warmer?
No, it's a very bad, funny bone elbow from getting too many hooks into the elbow. So, yeah, back in 18, we were in the All-Ireland semi-final the first day. I swung back and hit that work with my elbow, and it just was so bad. Then after that, I couldn't touch it if anything. So I was told to go off and just get a sleeve. So it's like the NBA sleeve, kind of, if a basketballer falls. So it's just a big padding there, so then yeah. I can't get hit in the elbow, really. So it's not a fashion statement, and it'd be one if I could take it away and not wear it, I'd be delighted. But yeah, it's something different to it.
Well, it is one of the sorest belts when you get one on the bone, on the hurl, when you're hitting a ball or soloing with the ball.
There's nothing worse. And yeah, it's like getting boiling water and pouring it down the hole right or left inside of your hand. So yeah, it's taken away that aspect of getting hit, but yeah, it's just a more of a protection and something just to protect me from actually being able to hold or hurt it for the game. Yeah,
yeah, not a fashion statement. So yeah, listen, thanks a million for that, John. I've taken up enough of your time, and yeah, well done in the world, and best luck for the rest of the season.
So thanks, Ian.